This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
0-2-2. That foul line has been at the level. They made the two big ones the other night. National championship is in the balance. 13 seconds left. Florida leads it by two.
Uzan gonna go.
Uzan, give it up. Cryer, 6 seconds. 5 seconds. Sharp.
He walked. He can't touch it.
He can't. 1 second. And it's over.
Iron Eagle last night with Bill Raftery, Grant Hill, the CBS call, a horrendous ending to what was a pretty good championship game and a very good overall Final Four. Florida, national champions in college basketball. Good morning. A somewhat mixed morning for me because of some news we'll give you at 12 noon. So stay tuned or at least come back for that. At 12 noon. Before we get to the game, this from Danny Z in Rockville. Danny writes, Kevin, you made a distinction between greatest player and greatest legend. Ovi, the greatest player, and someone else, the greatest legend in DC history. I think Ovi is both. Ben said yesterday on your show, he's referring to Ben Standig, if someone had told you 20 years ago that a Russian teenager that plays hockey would be this city's greatest sports athlete of all time, you would have checked that person into a padded room. Yet here we are. Legendary career. Thank you for that, Danny. Danny, the definition of legend, I wanted to look it up, and there are basically two definitions. The definition that we would not use would be a traditional story sometimes popularly regarded as historical but unauthenticated. You know, the legend of what happened. You know, it typically is unauthenticated and kind of grows into something that maybe doesn't even resemble what actually happened. The other definition, an extremely famous or notorious person, especially in a particular field. Personally, I think when we're talking about the greatest DC sports legend in terms of team sport athletes in the last 50 or so years, I think it's Riggo. I think John Riggins is more famous for what he did in his particular field in this city. I think his 4th-and-1 touchdown run in Super Bowl 17 is the most famous play and most famous moment in this city's sports history. But Ovi is a legend. There's no doubt about it. We're just talking about comparing legends. And there is no doubt that Ovechkin is the greatest player on a team in the four major sports over the last half century. And yes, the description that Ben gave yesterday on the show does make it an incredible, unexpected career, even though there was a lot of hype around him, in terms of the way he grew in popularity over the years as well, in terms of what he did for this city when it comes to this sport. Remember, a few years before he arrived, they were trying to save the Caps from moving because hockey was so, so niche compared to the other sports. He did a tremendous amount for the Capitals, for the sport of hockey in this city. His career's the best ever for a team sport athlete, and it was a legendary, and it continues to be, a legendary career. And by the way, there's more to go. So we can put that conversation on hold, not that we can't have it, but in terms of being super definitive, until his career is over. I mean, they might win another cup. He might score another, you know, five goals and hit 900 and who knows how many more. But for me, in thinking about just the most famous team sport athlete of the four majors, I personally think it's Riggo. All right, let's talk about the game last night. God, man, I wanted Houston to win. You know, I picked them to win going into Final Four weekend. I felt really good about the game, the way it was played in the first half, the way they extended the lead in the second half to 12 points. My God, are they good defensively? Are they intense defensively? It's something you've seen throughout the season and throughout the tournament, and they just wear on you to the point where most teams just put up their arms and submit, succumb. Florida did not. They did not. They were just as good at times defensively, even in the first half. I thought both teams were exceptional in the first half, and they let them play. They, meaning the referees. I hate starting really with the referees. However, the way this game ultimately was officiated was disgusting. It was a game in which they set the tone in the first half that we are going to let both of you go at it. We're going to let you grab. We're going to let you hold. We're going to let you be physical. We're going to let you put bodies on people. We are not going to blow the whistle. We are swallowing the whistle unless it's a decapitation, which there were a couple of near decapitations in the first half. Four fouls were called in the first half of the game. 26 were called in the second half of the game when you weren't even allowed to breathe on your opponent. That was horrendous officiating. Now, I don't think it favored one team or the other significantly. I do think Houston being forced to go small in the game with their big guys getting in foul trouble before anybody else on Florida did. Florida ended up with 11 team fouls and not one player with more than three. And Houston ended up with 19 fouls with Tugler fouling out, Francis ending up having four and playing in foul trouble throughout. It forced them to go small, and it was not the best lineup for Houston as they battled foul trouble throughout the second half. Ultimately, Florida shot seven more free throws in the game. You would look at the foul disparity and say it really did favor Florida. I think Florida adjusted a little bit better, but why did they have to adjust? Why did Houston have to adjust? It's the national championship game. You cannot have two completely different halves in the way the game is officiated. You will see sometimes when you have a few fouls called in the first half and neither team even sniffs the one-and-one, and you'll see, we got to extend this game. We got to make it a little bit longer. The game's going to end in an hour and a half. And they'll call more fouls in the second half. But four in the first half and 26 in the second? You saw it early. Houston was in the 1-1 with 14 minutes and 7 seconds left. 5:53 had gone by and 7 fouls had been called on Florida. And then Florida was in the 1-1 a minute and a half later with 12, just over 12 to go. And then Florida eventually made it to the double bonus before the 10-minute mark. Come on. If you want to call it tightly, call it tightly. from the beginning. Set the tone. This is how the game's going to be officiated. You should learn right now what this game's going to be about and adjust accordingly. The disparity between the officiating in the first half and the second half, given that this was a championship game with supposedly the best in the business, was foul to watch. No pun intended. Just really awful. It brought the game to a standstill. It totally changed the way Houston played. It totally took them out of their game defensively, especially when they had to go small with bigs off the floor. Florida did a nice job. They adjusted better. I give them credit for that. I actually think Florida overall ran better offense in the game when you had to get and you had to execute down the stretch. I don't think Houston did. I thought Florida's defense was outstanding. I thought Houston's was hellacious in the first half and even at times during the second half. But you can't do that to a championship game. You just can't. The second half took an hour and a half to play. It was really unfortunate that they did that to the game. And, you know, yeah, they let them go after each other. I mean, they let them brawl in the first half. And look, it benefited Houston more so than it did Florida because they're used to that. And they're good at that. But Florida's pretty good at it too. But they had the Gators completely rattled at times in the first half. And yet, the lead at halftime was just three. In part because of a missed goaltending call. With about a minute to go in the first half, that was a massive swing in the first half score. It was a ball that was not just on the rim and in the cylinder. The ball was more in the cylinder than it was outside of it, and it was swiped away. How they missed that, I have no idea. And it would have given Houston an 8-point lead, but after it got swatted out, Florida came down and hit a three, and ultimately that was an 8-point swing. A 5-point swing, excuse me. Rather than being up eight, they were up three at the half. Really big, big swing. In fact, they also missed a tipped shot that went out of bounds on Houston's final possession. They should have retained possession of the ball with about, 2.2 on the shot clock. Instead, Florida ended up getting the ball back with a chance. But I don't think I have ever seen a disparity, a total difference in the way a game is officiated from one half to another. Certainly not in a big spot like this. Honestly, they've got to look in the mirror and say, what did we do to this game? Why on earth? Obviously, they went in at halftime and said, well, we got to get control of this game. I don't think they needed to get control of it. It wasn't, I've heard people say that this was some sort of, MMA fight in the first half. It was physical, but it was well defended by both teams. Florida got after it too. They just weren't as used to it offensively. Houston's plan was pretty obvious early on. Walter Clayton Jr., they had a goal, was not going to score in the game. I mean, every time he crossed half court, he was picked up. Every time they ran a ball screen for him, he was trapped and double teamed. He did a good job passing the ball, but he had 0 points at halftime. Zero for a guy that had gone for 30 and 34 in the two games prior to it. And you could argue was easily the best player in the game last night going into it. And Houston just decided, we're not going to give him his and take away everybody else's. We're going to take away his and see if everybody else can beat us. In terms of that strategy, it paid off. They had a 12-point lead, but ultimately the game was brought to a halt with whistles that were blowing every 12 seconds. There was a stretch of 19 seconds, three fouls called on Houston in the second half. But I enjoyed the game. Like, I thought it was exactly kind of going into it. I gave credit to Florida for being very good defensively as well. Also a very good offensive rebounding team. Houston, I just thought, grown men, advanced. Ultimately, they would wear them down. They would win the game. And, you know, they had to, you know, Florida had to keep them off the offensive glass. Houston, another 15 offensive rebounds. Now, the overall rebounding advantage was even. Florida's turnovers crushed them in the first half, but Houston's turnovers in the second half crushed them. It was an exciting game. I liked the game, except it was just so painful when the whistle blew as much as it did in the second half. Now, down the stretch, you know, I talked about the Duke game on Saturday. I gave Houston more credit for winning the game on Saturday against Duke than Duke for blowing it. And last night, I'm going to give Florida more credit for winning the game than Houston for blowing it. It doesn't mean that Houston didn't mess up because their last four possessions, they did not get a shot off. That's pretty amazing, right? In a super tight game, they did not get a shot off in their final four possessions. And Emmanuel Sharpe was a big part of it. I mean, a devastating end for him, who, by the way, no conscience at all. I mean, he's gunning them from everywhere in the first half. I'm not sure he hit the rim in the first half on some of his threes. And that's just the kind of player he is. And then he got it going a little bit in the second half. But the turnover when they were down one, when he drove it into three players, and he had multiple options for passes, that was a terrible turnover. It wasn't a great possession either. The last play of the game, all he's got to do is catch, pump fake, Clayton Jr. goes flying by, and he's got a feet set, maybe with one dribble to gather himself, open three to win the game, to win the national championship. He just got hurried. You know, Clayton Jr. did a great job closing out on that play. He came from nearly, you know, the baseline, just inside of it, as Sharp came up off what was really a half of a screen. I wanted Cryer to take the last shot. They did a good job on Cryer, but they got Sharp the ball. They were clearly playing to win the game with a three. They got Sharp the ball, and, you know, he didn't make a natural basketball play with a defender running at him. That is a pump fake. Defender goes by, and it's one dribble to get your feet set and to gather yourself. Boom. Fire it. Win or lose, at least we're getting it up on the rim. By the way, getting it up on the rim, too, with about 4 seconds to go, would have given Houston a chance to crash the glass on a miss. And instead, he didn't think Clayton Jr. could get to him, and he went up and, you know, dropped the ball. And, you know, actually, in hindsight, the best thing would be to have picked up the ball with about 2.5 seconds to go and taken the turnover. At least then, Houston could have lined up and played some defense, maybe gotten a quick foul. But, you know, it ended very messy, very poorly. And Houston goes home 65-63 and without the cover. The under came in 1-1 on the picks yesterday. I was thinking, Denton, you know, if this game goes to overtime at 65-65, I got a chance to lose both. I wanted Houston to win, though, and I thought kind of like Duke was the better team for three quarters of the game on Saturday night. I thought Houston was the better team for, you know, every bit of three quarters of the game last night, but they couldn't close it out. And Florida did what they've done throughout. They came from behind, and Clayton Jr. had some big-time plays. That screen, the screener, where he came back off after setting a screen, was a great half-court execution to get him that open three. That was big-time. I thought Golden did a much better job against hellacious defense in executing offensively in the half court than Kelvin Sampson's team did down the stretch. I think that's kind of obvious. The three that Clayton made to tie it up at 60, I believe it was, with, I don't know, 2:50, 3 minutes to go, was such a great play. And I didn't see Houston run enough. There was a lot of space the floor, call for a ball screen, try to make a play until the end. Anyway, tough loss for Houston. I'd love to have seen Kelvin Sampson win a national championship, but Florida deserved it. And this was a game in which both teams were exceptional defensively, and Florida's defense ended up winning the game at the end of the game. Yeah, I would put some of it on Houston, trust me. You know, certainly the sharp last two possessions. In fact, the turnover on the possession down 64-63 was really bad, because that was an obvious, you're dribbling right into three people. You know, the last play is unfortunate. It happens, but he had an opportunity to just make a natural basketball catch. He sees Clayton Jr. closing out, and all the momentum closing out. One pump fake. Boom. He's got an open look to win the game. Or he would have had a drive if he had wanted to drive it. What else on my notes here? You know, the other part of the game in the second half, you got to call the tech on the player that threw the ball down and, you know, out of frustration. But calling a bench technical on Florida because the bench jumped up is so stupid in a national championship game. Don't do that. That was a big turning point in the moment for Houston. Benefited Houston. You know, last night, I didn't know this until after the game. Last night was the first time all season Houston held an opponent to under 70 points and lost. They were 33-0. That almost sounds impossible, but that's how good they were defensively. They were the number one defensive team in America per KenPom. But they were 33-0 going into the game last night, holding opponents under 70. Held Florida to 65 and lost. You know, some of the three-point shooting was horrendous. You know, both coaches got interviewed, you know, in the first half, and they both talked about nerves. Okay, the defense, though, was part of the reason some of those shots were way off. I mean, even when they weren't totally contested, so much of the movement offensively was contested on both ends that even when you got free, you felt like somebody was coming. But I'll credit that to nerves and championship game nerves. And by the way, a little bit of, you know, both teams played, you know, unbelievable games on Saturday, 48 hours earlier. Houston, a game that went to exhaustion at the end, and they were back 48 hours later to play the championship game, and so they could have been just a bit out of it. The shooting was horrendous in the first half, but I thought it was primarily defense. I mean, these two teams combined for 12 block shots, for 13 steals in the game. It just, everything was contested. It was like, in football terms, it was hard to gain a yard for either team in the game. Florida did, I thought, a bad job off the doubles of actually finding Condon in particular, and he did a poor job with the ball in the paint. There were opportunities for Florida to get some open shots in the first half, but they were rattled, completely rattled about what was coming next. Because Houston, it was a block party in the first half. Even on a turnover and a fast break, the relentless pursuit ended up, instead of a layup for Florida, block shot, and the ball was going the other way. I love that kind of relentless pressure and aggressiveness, and I love those kinds of games, even though they can get a little bit ugly at times offensively. But what they did to the game, the referees in the second half, despicable. I mean, you know, it's a sporting event. Nobody's going to die. Understood that. Everybody's still breathing today. But for a national championship game, to have referees call the game one way and then call it completely the opposite way in the next half isn't fair to either team. They set the tone in the first half. This is the way we're going to call it. We're going to let you play. Nothing turned into a brawl. The game wasn't super chippy. There were a couple of moments. There are always going to be a couple of moments in the championship game, but this wasn't a game on the verge of getting out of control where they had to get control of it. Just unfortunate that the three officials in the game had to become such a part of the story. I don't think I've ever heard of 4 fouls in one half and 26 in the second. Denton will give you his thoughts on the championship game. And if you want to weigh in, phone lines are open. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. College basketball's over. The tournament, it flies by. Not a lot of classic games, but you ended up with some high-quality teams down the stretch. And I think that made for an overall, you know, plus tournament. Very good Final Four. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.